So I wanted to share from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, and I'm going to try to condense this because I'll go to my last note, is men, the world does not need sermon connoisseurs, the world needs workers in the field. And we've heard some really great teaching, some really great testimony of what God has done, but unless the Lord transforms our hearts, and unless the power of prayer is what really gets us going into the field to see more souls saved for the kingdom of heaven, we're not going to get very far. So I'm trusting that we can get through these last couple points here. I'll try to just highlight a few brief things, but what I really want to do, and we try to end around 11, we're going a little longer today, just because this is such an important topic, and if you just give me maybe like 7 minutes, and then I want to close in a time of prayer, because what a miss it would be if we didn't gather around tables as men and pray for one another with who God is putting on our hearts to share the gospel with. Amen? Amen. So let me go to the Lord in prayer right now, and then I'll share just a few points. So Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what we've heard already. We want you to prompt our hearts, Lord, to be more like you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we're all following you, Lord. Thank you that we have great examples in the Apostle Paul. We have great examples from these guys who are on the panel of people that are doing it, Lord. And we want to be the men who would be among the few laborers. But Lord, we don't just want a few. We want many. That's why we're talking about this, Lord. So help us to get involved in the work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be teaching from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And this is where Jesus is encouraging his disciples toward the work of seeing souls saved. And so it starts in verse 35 where it says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. What I love about Jesus is he was always on the move. He actively would go from city to city into villages because he lived on mission, right? He had a purpose. And what Jesus got done in 3 years was incredible. And so he would teach in synagogues. There's a place for sort of teaching in the church where evangelism happens. You know, there's so amazing how many people have got saved in this room. And we would kind of consider this sort of the synagogue kind of atmosphere. But he would also go into the villages proclaiming or preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he was heralding. He would go sort of like somebody announcing good news. You'd herald it and he'd preach it. And then not only that, but there wasn't just the talk, but there was also the power to back it up. And I think that's so important. And Paul said, I did not come to you with an eloquence of speech, but with a demonstration of the power of God. And this was modeled by Jesus, where he didn't just say the things, he also did the things. He did the stuff. And that was where he was healing every disease and affliction. And so this means that Jesus didn't wait for people to come to him. He went to them. And that's so important for us to understand. Brothers, if we just stay still and wait for people to come to us, we're not going to be very effective. Now, sometimes this happens, and it's amazing when it happens. When I first got saved at 17 years old, I had a best friend that I kind of grew up with from middle school on. We spent so much time together. And when I became a Christian, he was mad. And he actually, it was my first experience of persecution. I'd see him at school. He didn't want to talk to me. He acted like he didn't even know me anymore. And it was really painful because we had such a deep relationship and a lot of history and a lot of, we did a lot of sin together, right? And so he was still going the way of the world and he was going down a path and the Lord snatched me out of that and set me on a different path. And then a couple of years later, I've been a believer for maybe 4 years, my phone rang and it said, Sean Harwin. I was like, oh my God. Why is Sean Harwin calling me right now? I haven't talked to this guy in years. And so I answered the phone and I was like, hey, Sean, it's Daniel, what's up, man? He's like, first words out of his mouth was, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to know how I can have that. Literally, first words out of his mouth on the phone call, I was like, what? That doesn't happen, guys. How many of you guys got in a phone call like that? First words, couple of you, right? It happens, but it's more rare. So people aren't necessarily gonna come to you like that. We need to be intentional, and we need to go to those who need salvation. You know, Jesus said, the well have no need for a doctor. It's those who are sick that need a doctor. And so Jesus didn't just hang out in his holy huddles. He went, and like I said, he dined with sinners. He ate with the most notorious sinners of the day. And then in verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had this unique ability, obviously because he's God, but just this ability to see beyond the surface of people because he had compassion. What did you say, Brad? It was so good. There's a thin veneer over every person's life. And if we can see past that facade, that veneer that people are living with to try to act like everything's okay, we're gonna realize that the crowds are like sheep without a shepherd. There's so many helpless and hopeless people in this world that put up a front like everything's okay, but if you see past that and you see that people are broken, people are confused, people are lost, people are longing for something more than what they have, and Jesus met people in that place, and he met them with his compassion. Notice, he did not condemn them. He wasn't the God who's like, I know what's really beneath the surface. You know, he saw just the most destitute and depraved people, and he loved them right where they were at. And so he was moved with compassion. Compassion is what moved people to Jesus. So we want to ask ourselves, do we see people the way that Jesus sees people? Or have we become numb to the lost and broken world around us? You know, lost people look at other lost people and get angry. You can just read or watch or listen to what people are saying about other people, especially in our culture today. And there is such an angry, condemning disgust that people share about other people's. And you know why that is? It's because our sin looks ugliest on other people. See, broken people just condemn other broken people. But when you've actually found hope and healing in Jesus, you will see people with compassion. And so I just want to encourage you guys that evangelism, which we're talking about today, it doesn't start so much with a strategy. It starts with a heart of compassion. We don't need more strategies. What we need is we need a heart check. Do we care about people to the point where we'll do something about it? Will we take action to reach the lost? And so verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What I like about Jesus is that he would always give an honest report. As what Gil said, he wasn't selling something. He was just kind of saying, this is what it is. But in this honest report, there was good news and there was bad news. The good news was there's a lot of people that need to be saved and there's a lot of people that want to be saved. That's the good news. The bad news is there's not enough laborers going out reaping the harvest. There's not enough found people going to the lost people. There's not enough healed people going to the broken people. And so you'd think, and this is where the kingdom of God is so upside down, you'd think that he'd say, the harvest is few, but the laborers are plentiful. You know, like, man, there's really very few people out there that want to be saved, that need to be saved, and man, us safe people, there's a bunch of us, right? And we're good with where we're at. No, that's not what he said. And so there's no shortage of lost and sick people in this world who need the gospel. The problem isn't so much as there's not enough fruit in the field. The problem is that there's a lack of workers in the field. And often we'll think, well, someone else will step up. Let the evangelist do it. You know, God has uniquely gifted different people, like Brett McKenzie clearly has a gift for evangelism. And he'd be somebody in the body of Christ that we would consider an evangelist. Now, I do realize that not every believer has the gift of evangelism or has been called to this role in the body of Christ of being an evangelist, but every believer has been called to evangelism. Just in the same way that there are some people who have the gift of giving, the gift of generosity, but every believer is called to give. Some people in the church are so gifted in serving, it's just like they're the first in, they're the last out, they're the ones who are doing all the serving. It's like, by the way, thank you to the women who serve so faithfully today for us, right? But all of us are called to serve. And so we might not be the evangelist or have that particular gift, but all of us are called to do it. Why? Because we've all been called to fulfill the Great Commission. And it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. And so Jesus is pointing at you today, gentlemen. He's pointing at me. Because even for me, as a pastor, I do the work of an evangelist. And one of the greatest joys is to see people respond to the gospel and put faith in Jesus. I love to see hands go up. I love to see people coming to the altar to receive Christ. And I want to be more bold about it. I want to give more opportunities for people to come to Christ. But even for me, I think about what is it like for me out in just the day-to-day, at the ball field with my kids, you know, at the gym, when I'm doing my thing, working out, at the grocery store, wherever it is, am I taking Jesus with me wherever I go, or am I just in my holy huddle? And I want to be those who take more action. So the question is, will you be part of the few? Or will we say, well, I'll get around when the opportunity comes? Jesus said in a parallel passage to this in John, do not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. No, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest. Go now. Today's the day when you begin to see Jesus. You said, if I follow you, you will make me a fisher of men, and he will empower you in that. Now, verse 38 comes to, I think, probably the most important part of this whole thing, which is the power of prayer. It says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So the first step of us being more effective as a church in reaching the lost is to pray. And this can't be passive prayer. It has to be earnest prayer. Because we need God to awaken our hearts to this. We need him to begin to stir us up. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's over it all. And I don't know about you, but anytime I'm convicted by the Lord about a particular area of my discipleship, I come to the Lord and I begin to pray. But sometimes I get the focus in the wrong place. It's like, oh, what about me? I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And what I need to do is I need to get my eyes off of myself and I need to put them on the Lord and know what he's capable of. He's the Lord of the harvest. I'm just his unprofitable servant. And so when I begin to turn my attention to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want to use me? Because this is about you. This is about your glory. And what happens when you don't know where to start with sharing your faith, here's where you can start. You can start with prayer. You can start with prayer. Because often when you start praying for workers in the harvest, God makes you the answer to your own prayer. What if every single one of us went to the Lord in prayer and said, God, I want to be a fisher of men. God, I want to see more opportunities to share my faith. God, I don't just want to see those opportunities, I want to seize them. I want to be active. I don't just want to leave this for the next guy to do. I want to get involved in the work. When you say the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few, God, I want to be a part of the few. I don't want to be part of the many who just sit back and let others get involved in the work. And so maybe you're late to the game. Well, Jesus taught a parable that if you get brought into the field late in the day, you know, the last hour, guess what? You still get the same wage. So maybe for some of you, you've been at this for like 20 years and you're just like, yeah, I've been sharing my faith for a long time. Maybe today you've never shared your faith with anybody before. Today's the day when you can pray to the Lord of Harvest and say, God, put me in the fields. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be used. Prayer is so powerful when it comes to people being saved. You know, we have the ministry called Engine Room, and just about every time we've had the Engine Room, people have been saved on those Sundays. That's convicting. We have not because we asked not. What if we just asked more for God to do this work, both in us and through us? And so just to summarize what we've heard here, guys, Jesus went to the lost and the sick. So should we. Jesus felt compassion for sinners. We need to have a heart like his. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. Go now. But few are willing to go. Jesus said that we ought to pray because he is the Lord of the harvest. And so, again, men, I mean this in the best way. The world does not need more sermon connoisseurs. You know, the church isn't primarily called to be a holy huddle where we're just a sermon appreciation society. The church, as Rob said, to start us out, is such a beautiful thing. It is one of the only, it's the only organization where its existence is not for the sake of those who are in it, but for those who are not yet in it. And notice the yet part. There are many people who have yet to hear the gospel because someone has not told them. And if someone has not told them, then who will go to them? And how shall they go unless they're sent? And who's going to send us? It's the Lord who's going to send us. And if we would have the prayer of Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. I want to be a worker in the harvest. Here's a simple prayer you guys can pray today. Lord of the harvest, give me eyes to see, give me a heart to care, and give me courage to go. Let me say that again. If you make that your prayer this week, I think God will do a transformative work in your heart, and he'll begin to work through you in mighty ways. Lord of the harvest, give me eyes to see, give me a heart to care, and give me courage to go. Amen? Amen. Can we just gather together just for a moment around the tables and pray for one another? Anything that you guys have on your hearts that you want to lift up in prayer, just lift that up. Even it just be that simple prayer before we head out. We're going to just have about 5 minutes, and then you guys can get going with your Sunday. So let's pray.